Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
In spite of the predictions and the pontifications of these media pundits and even the failed polls, there is a whole different side to what's happened and what is happening in this election process. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, we know about the allegations of election fraud. We know that the media does not crown the next president, even though they would like to do so. We know that the process is far from over because there's litigation. We know that there's audits and there's recounts, and you have to ultimately get the certification. None of all of that has happened. It's still through the process ongoing. So stay tuned and continue to pray for our country. But one of the things that I want to talk about is a few points on this election, and that is the failed predictions of some of these, many of them, most of them, media sources and the so-called polls. They were predicting a, quote, blue wave nationally, both from the president to the Senate to the House and across the country, a complete blue wave across America. But that did not happen. And in fact, there's some interesting statistics here with regards to the number of pro-life women who will now be serving in the U.S. Congress.
Yeah, this is great news.
I mean, this is amazing. Pro-life women.
13 new Republicans, seven of whom have replaced pro-abortion Democrat-held seats, are now in Congress. That means that with these victories, the number of pro-life women in the House will double.
Will double.
Double.
And these 13 new pro-life women, seven of whom, as you mentioned, have replaced pro-abortion Democrat seats, joined the existing 11 pro-life women incumbents, all of whom won re-election.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
So now you have 11 women incumbent pro-life members of the House and Senate, and these 13 members of the House, or these 13 pro-life women, will actually join them in the House.
We've also got six pro-life women that will serve in the Senate starting next year.
Yes. I mean, it's incredible in terms of these numbers coming through. And you have also similar things happening on the state level as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know, for example, in my own district, there's a particular candidate who is a male, Christian, pro-life, and he was targeted severely. And he was doing okay until about a couple of weeks before the election. And then his Democratic opponent all of a sudden was given $85,000 from one source and $25,000 from another source. And this is a state House of Representatives seat. This is not a U.S. Congress. And now, within a couple weeks of the election, you get this six-plus figure campaign contribution from two different sources going into the opposing candidate's campaign. That ultimately caused concern. There's some really big money that's trying to unseat these people even at the local level. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Despite that money, he won. Mm-hmm. Despite the, $100 million that was spent to defeat Senator Lindsey Graham, he ultimately won re-election. I mean, that has become, the most expensive race at the Senate level. Maybe it rivals or I think maybe a little bit more than the one with Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke in Texas a few years ago.
And you also see to the extremes that these radical advocates will go all the way up to the presidency.
Well, and you really have some real problems with the media and even former Vice President Joe Biden walking around pretending that he is the president-elect. Now, the amazing thing is Biden actually created a fake presidential seal and pretends, that he is the president with that seal behind him. That is very dangerous. He also is speaking about his task force. Now, the amazing thing about his task force is and what he would do as president. Again, he's not the president-elect, but he's telling you what he would do as president.
And that's rather eye-opening, too, to see what his plans would be.
He says that he will reverse the Mexico City policy, which means that your taxpayer dollars will go to fund abortion worldwide. He will fund Planned Parenthood, probably the reason that Planned Parenthood ultimately withdrew some of its litigation, because they think, well, they're going to get the federal funding under a Biden administration. Right. He also has said that he's going to create a COVID-19 advisory board. Now, this is amazing. As part of it, he says he's going to institute a nationwide face covering mandate. Now, that's going to fly like a lead balloon.
Woo-wee.
And get this. He has named Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, who was the architect of the so-called Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and a former special health advisor during the Obama administration. He's the brother of Rahm Emanuel, the former aide to President Obama and the former mayor of Chicago. This is Ezekiel Emanuel, but who is he? Ezekiel Emanuel is a eugenicist. Ezekiel Emanuel actually stated, before he was ever tapped by Obama, his eugenic viewpoint with regards to health care, and that there's a scale, sliding scale, that those who ought to get health care are those not the youngest, because they don't have the guarantee of a good life. They have the potential for having a productive life. So not for young, and not for those over 75 or that are sick or disabled. Those cost too much, and they already have gone past their prime. So it's this middle group where they ought to get the most health care. Here's the amazing thing. This man, he has said, would be on his COVID-19 task force. This man believes that, say, after mid-70s, and a Biden, by the way, is 77,
whoops,
that your life is not worth living and that you shouldn't get the benefit of all the health care, like Medicaid and Medicare, because he's a eugenicist. You just eliminate those, i.e. what happened in New York with the governor? What did he do? He put COVID patients in nursing homes, the places where people were most vulnerable. And unfortunately, these poor, innocent people suffered and died because of that eugenicist type of decision. You know, there is real problems that would be under that kind of ideology. The bottom line, though, is, look, we're on the ground in Pennsylvania. We're researching, we're monitoring, we're providing an investigation to make sure that the election is proper, that it is fair, that it's a free election, and that it's transparent. And there's a lot of litigation that is left to be done. The Supreme Court ultimately has to make some final decisions, and it's not just one case. It'll be a couple of cases from different states. Remember, in Florida, it was one state, and in Florida, it was only a few counties. But now we've got Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. We have, Georgia. We have Arizona. We have Michigan. We have Nevada. All those states are in play, and many of those states have serious allegations of fraud. I believe the other states have also serious allegations of fraud as well, but those are the ones that are the target right now, and so we need to root out this fraud so that we have free and transparent elections, not only right. in this election, but in future elections to come.
Yeah, this is really, as chaotic as it seems, it's really a positive thing. All this darkness, all this evil, all this deceit and corruption is coming out now. So we as believers can pray, and of course we hope in the Lord for all things, but we can continue to pray that this darkness be exposed.
That's right. You know, when you shine a light on darkness, the darkness has to flee. Right. And that's what our prayer is, to shine a light on the darkness, to make sure that those people who committed fraud, those individuals are held accountable, that your vote counts, that we can go to the polls, not only now, but in the future, and be confident that we are able to cast a ballot and our ballot is properly considered without any of these shenanigans. I think going forward, we have to eliminate mail-in voting.
Right.
Period.
I mean, this electoral system, this is the bedrock of America. We have got to protect this.
And we also have to look at these electronic computer programs because they are fraught with problems to actually change votes. Even when you go in person, you don't know whether your vote is being counted. Lots of things that have to be sorted out for this election, but also for future elections. And we're going to be on the ground, be your voice to make sure that our freedom remains free. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776.